Hello and welcome to the Racing Post Postcast. I'm Dan Walsh and I'm joined today by Tom Collins and Graham Rodway. First of all, Merry Christmas to everybody who's listening and Merry Christmas to you two guys. No Bruce today, he's on a well-earned break, debating on Twitter whether a bright glowing ball in the sky is the moon or the sun. Did either of you see that, Tom?
I did, yeah, I did see it. Everyone was claiming it was the sun. I mean, it's a contentious issue, isn't it, Dan? It was a yellow moon. Who knows? I'm happy to go with whatever Bruce says on that one. I'm not a meteorologist.
G-Rod, you are very festive, aren't you? I mean, we saw you last year in the Racing Post studio with your antlers. Are you looking forward to Christmas Day, or is it all about the last winner on Boxing Day for you?
Oh, yeah. I'm absolutely all over Christmas every year. It's one of my favourite times of year, just behind the Cheltenham Festival, Dan, of course, not only because, you know, all the presents and food and great festive fun that we're all going to have over the next couple of days, but also Boxing Day is, of course, one of the best racing days of the whole season, including, in my opinion, the second race, best race of the whole campaign, the King George. And this year, it's an absolute cracker, isn't it?
It really is. And Tom, I'm guessing your day won't be over by the time that Leopardstown and Kempton and Weatherby's finished, because you're going to be waiting till midnight for the American Oaks, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. We've got brilliant racing at Santa Anita. Three grade ones, the American Oaks, as you say, the Malibu, the Labria as well. It's phenomenal racing in the UK and in the US. Boxing Day is the best day of the year, in my opinion. It's better than any day of Cheltenham Festival, just by the pure amount of racing. I know people say there's too much racing, but nothing beats 70 plus races on Boxing Day, as well as football, festivities with the food and your family. Oh, it's just going to be a great time of year, Dan.
And we're going to bring you previews from four different tracks today from Boxing Day. And we're going to start with the action that's going to be on ITV1 from Kempton and Weatherby. And we'll begin with the 155 at Kempton. That's going to be the Ladbrokes Corto Star Novices Chase. And the market brings us Brave Man's Game, who's a general 5-6, Ahoy Senor at 11-10, T-Clipper at 16-1, and Kill Teely Briggs, a general 33-1. It's a small field here, which could become a reoccurring theme on today's show. Ahoy Senor and Brave Man's Games locking horns again after their Aintree grade one hurdling battle back in April. Which of the two are you signing with today, Tom, or is there another one?
Well, I started looking at the declarations for this race about 3 or 4 days ago, and there was 8 or 9 runners in the field. And I just saw the top of the race card and saw Ahoy Senor, Brave Man's Game, numbers 1 and 2. And I'm thinking, this could be one of the best novice chases of the year. Unfortunately, the class didn't uphold in the remainder of the entries, and we're left with just 4 runners, so it's a match race. They're both grade one horses in the making, I think, but this race is like when you see an incredible dessert on a menu and it turns up and you just get a minuscule portion. It's slightly underwhelming. You kind of need a fast gallop in these races to see these horses at their best. Therefore, I won't be punting in the race. As I say, there's 76 contests on Boxing Day in the UK and Ireland. And evens each or two doesn't really appeal from a punting perspective. However, if I am to have a selection, it would be Brave Man's Game, purely on the basis that I think this track will suit him better than it will suit Ahoy Senor. The fact that it's right-handed, Ahoy Senor's one disappointment this year, if you want to call it disappointment, when he fell at Carlisle, was right-handed. Otherwise, his best efforts have come left-handed. I think Brave Man's Game would be better suited by the track. But as I say, there are better punting opportunities, and we're going to cover most of them in this podcast.
And G-Rod, which of the two would you side with? Ahoy Senor, obviously winning the battle back in April against a Brave Man's Game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cracking race to watch, isn't it, Dan? But it's maybe not a great race to bet in, because I just think that these are both really, really good novice chasers who both jump well, have both got huge engines, and either could win, dependent on how the race goes. If Ahoy Senor jumps out in front, jumps well, and has the speed to lead, I think that Brave Man's Game won't get past him. But Brave Man's Game is such a fluent jumper, and he's got a superb cruising speed. I expect he will actually lead them off. And if he jumps well in front, then he will win, I think. In the long term, I think Ahoy Senor is the better long-term prospect, and I'll be keeping a close eye on how he shapes with a view to backing in for the RSA Chase, or what it used to be called, the RSA Chase. It's called the Brown Advisory Novices Chase now at the Cheltenham Festival. I think he'll win that race, a Hoy Senor at Cheltenham. I think that is his race. Cheltenham is his track. He stays very well, probably stays better than Brave Man's Game. But 3 miles around Kempton might just play to Brave Man's Game strength. So it's just a very, very difficult race to call. If I absolutely had to call it, I would be on Brave Man's Game purely because I think he's a better jumper. And I think this track plays more to speed than it does stamina. And I think that is Brave Man's Game's game, not a Hoy Senor's game. But a Hoy Senor is so talented, it wouldn't surprise me if he beat him.
Looks like the market's got that one pretty summed up then at a 50-50 split. We'll have to see what happens on Boxing Day morning. So we're going to move across now to Weatherby for the 210, the William Hill Roland Merrick Handicap Chase. We've got winners from two renewals of this race going for another crack in Lakeview, Ladd and Topville Ben. Cloudy Glenn will be well fancied following his impressive success last time out in the Ladbrokes Trophy against a strong field. Who do we pick out of this one then, Tom?
Well, I initially liked Canelo at around 16-1 in the Antipost market for this race. But unfortunately, he's been taken out this morning. He obviously won the race last year and would have been a decent price because his two runs this year have been substandard. However, as I say, he's been taken out. Fans of Trends will be interested to know that 6 of the last 7 winners of this race have been 7-year-olds, an age group that is again well represented by the likes of Empire Steel and Silver Hallmark. And Silver Hallmark is going to be my selection. The rain at Weatherby this week looks horrendous. If this wasn't the Christmas period, people would be complaining about living in England with this weather forecast. It's just going to be a downpour throughout the next 7 days. And the ground's already soft at Weatherby. And I think that'll suit Silver Hallmark. I fancied him for the Racing Post Gold Cup at Cheltenham earlier this month, a race that was won by Cool Cody. But the ground was just a bit quick for him then. He got taken out of the 24-hour stage. He's going to get his conditions here. He's a horse with a high level of ability. He's already beaten the likes of Fiddler on the Roof and McFabulous in his career. He's completely unexposed over fences. He's only had 6 starts on a race course in general. I think this is a perfect race for Silver Hallmark. And yes, he might be favourite, but he deserves to be favourite.
And Graham?
Silver Hallmark's got a huge chance, obviously. I just think that maybe Empire Steel might be the one here, especially if the ground gets really testing, because Sandy Thompson's runners always love it when the mud is flying. And this horse absolutely thrashed Protectorat last year. He beat him 41 lengths. Now, obviously, Protectorat probably wasn't the Protectorat that we've seen this season. But even so, I mean, to beat him so easily was quite an effort. And I thought he ran well first time up behind Strictly a Dancer at Haydock on ground that probably was a little bit quicker than he would prefer. And I think that he could be the one. He's only £1 higher than at Haydock. So Empire Steel for me, Dan.
All right, thanks, guys. We're going to head back to Kempton now for the Christmas hurdle. We've got Epitone leading the market at 8-11. Not So Sleepy 7-2. Tritonic 5-1. Soaring Glory 7s. And Glory and Fortune at 33s. So we've got the fighting 5th Dead Heat as Epitone and Not So Sleepy returning here to fight out another grade one. There's no entry for So Ryall on this occasion. He's earned a weekend off after a busy campaign so far. And Tritonic won the big handicap last weekend. So how can we expect him to perform in this step up in company, G-Rod?
I don't think he'll be good enough, Dan. I think that is kind of about as good a year as he is. Ascot, that race was just run ideally for him. They went very, very fast. It's a stiff uphill finish at Ascot. And he travelled powerfully and he stays well at the trip, Tritonic. So it was no surprise he was strong at the finish, beating my selection one for the road around Absolute Stormer. I just think that 2 miles around Kempton as well will be sharp enough for him. I think he wants a bit further. The horse, it's a really difficult race again from a punting perspective, because Epitone, make no mistake, is massively on the downgrade. I mean, she is nowhere near the mare who won the champion hurdle a few years ago. I mean, she is running somewhere in the region of 10 to £12 below her best, but she is still better than the majority of the British hurdlers around, because they're just not very good, these British hurdlers. And last time out, she managed to dead eat with Not So Sleepy. I mean, Epitone at her best is a far, far better horse than Not So Sleepy, yet, you know, she ended up dead eating with him getting the £7 allowance. So it's almost embarrassing that she did. I mean, Not So Sleep is lovely, horse, but he's an absolute lunatic, isn't he? So who knows what he's going to do. If I had to play against, it's not a betting race. If I had to play, probably Soaring Glory. Now, I was last of four last time out at Newbury behind one more for the road in a sort of weird tactical race. But one more for the road ran well, as I say, at the weekend behind Tritonic. And Soaring Glory wouldn't have been suited by the way that race was run. I'd previously been impressive in a handicap at Ascot. I do think he's got a bit of pace about him. It is just, it's just British hurdlers, isn't it, Dan? Yeah, they're just not very good.
Oh, really? Tom, have you got the same kind of confidence in the British hurdlers? Or?
Well, I think it's going to be a slightly better race than G-Rod does. however, I have to agree with him about Epitone. She's just been on the downgrade since she won the 2020 Fighting Fifth. I mean, that day when she just zoomed past So Royale after the last hurdle, didn't even look like she was turning her hair, and she won by four-plus lengths. We all thought, oh, look, you know what? This hurdler is top quality. Obviously, she'd already won the champion hurdle, but... yeah, since then, she's been very disappointing behind Honeysuckle a couple of times. And she should have won the Fighting Fifth this year. She loomed up on the bridle, looking like she was going to go clear like 12 months ago against Soriel. But she just didn't. And Not So Sleepy, who made a terrible mistake at the second last, fought back. And a fair play to that horse. He's just been a revelation, come through the handicap ranks. And now is, you know, a grade one winner. This race, it's intriguing because Kempton obviously suits Epitone. It also suits Not So Sleepy, a flat track, right-handed track. I don't see why there's such a discrepancy in the price, given how Epitone's been performing recently. Therefore, I'd have to back Not So Sleepy. But even then, it wouldn't be a confidence selection. Soaring Glory is one of my favourite horses. I backed him to win the Betfair Hurdle. However, I was a little disappointed with his jumping last time. I think if he jumps like that again, it'll probably let him down. And Tritonic, as G-Rod says, probably needs a longer trip. So if I was forced, it'd be Not So Sleepy. But again, I'll be leaving this with an eye to the King George.
All right. Thanks for that, guys. And as you mentioned, we're going to move on to the highlight of the Christmas period. Is that, were the second best race of the year, was it, G-Rod?
Yeah. Oh, this is a great race. It's, I mean, the best race of the year from a quality perspective is the Gold Cup, obviously. But the second race, best race of the year in Britain, from a quality perspective, is always the King George. And this year, what a race it is, Dan.
It really is. I mean, I'm sure a few of the guys from across the Emerald Isle there would argue that the Savills Chase is usually the best race at Christmas time. But we'll kick on with the King George, and we're going to look at the market first. Clan de Zobo, 11-4. Manila Indoor, 100-30. Chantry House pops in at 9-2. Last year's winner, Frodon, also 9-2, and it's 11-2 bar. Paul Nichols has a strong hand in this. Two former winners in Clan de Zobo, and like I just said, Frodon. But interestingly, he also puts in St. Calvados into this for his first run for the yard. G-Rod, what do you think of that?
Yeah, it's quite interesting, isn't it? I mean, he ran a sort of funny race in it. Was it last year? I think it might have been behind Frodon when he was sort of jumping left and did everything wrong. And then he was still there, sort of turning for home. And then only sort of lost a couple of places from the last. He ran very well. But I did a sort of study on these Nichols horses that went to him first time, you know, and he said all the stuff, hasn't it? First time wind up and first time tongue tie and, yeah, I mean, they usually take a run or two to really hit their straps for him. But, you know, I don't want to say that and then see Sal and Kovados win. But I'll be absolutely amazed if he does.
Who do you think is going to win?
Oh, yeah, it's a great race, isn't it? I mean, you know, Gold Cup winner, dual King George winner at the top of the market. It wouldn't surprise me any of them won apart from some of the ones at the bottom of the betting. I think that the bet has to be Asterion for Lange, really. He obviously goes well right-handed. He jumps right-handed on left-handed tracks. But he just has the look of the sort of horse that's going to win a King George. He's got a bit of speed, which you have to have. It's a flat track, isn't it? A sharp 3 miles. And this race has been won by so many similar types to Asterion for Lange in the past, who probably just about get 3 miles, but will have the speed to go the pace that they will go here. Because make no mistake, they won't be messing around. Frodon's obviously going to be blasting away. Manila Indo has only really got one way of running. So they're going to be setting a good old pace. And I think the race that Asterion Falonge ran in last time, the John Durkin, certainly going into that race, I've lost count of how many people told me that was the best race of the whole season going into the race. I mean, the Envoy LM, Fakir Duderis, Alaho, Melon, you know, there were just Minella times, of course, there were just a bunch of top class horses in it. And going into the race, everyone was saying this is the best race of the whole season, this John Durkin. They couldn't wait for it. And Asterion Falonge was going to blow the race apart. I mean, he was absolutely cruising. He was going to win by a long way by the looks of it. But of course, he then went and made a mistake at the third last and unseated his rider. But I mean, if you think that was the best race of the whole season, which I'm fairly certain it was, and you look at it and think, well, Asterion Falonge was going to blow them apart. I mean, I think he's just got a huge amount of talent. And I think that he's the bet in the race. But it's a fantastic race, isn't it? I can't wait for it. What a cracker.
They're definitely turning the right way at Kempton for Asterion Falonge's wayward jumping, let's just say. Tom, what did you think of the King George, and who's your selection?
Yeah, it's an absolute belter. I think Clanner's Oboe is the horse to beat, but the thing that slightly puts me off him is the fact that he hasn't won on a seasonal reappearance since 2015. He's generally got tired late on his return to action every single year, and that'll be enough to put me off, especially at the price. Though I am obviously, you know, pretty sure that Paul Nicholls will have got him as close as 100% fit as possible without having a race. But even that little margin, I think, could be the difference between winning and losing. And Clanner's Oboe, I'll be against him at the prices. I'm going to have a bet in this, which is Chantry House. Now, it's mainly because I want to see that new face on the scene. And Asterion Falonge could be that. I just don't trust his jumping, as you mentioned. He's got a massive engine, Asterion Falonge. But yeah, his jumping is a slight question mark for me. So I think Chantry House is a safer option. Nicky Henderson won this race with Long Run in 2011. Obviously, Long Run was a six-year-old when he won this race for the first time. And he was an up-and-coming sort going up against the brilliant Kato Star, or Quarto Star, however we pronounce it nowadays. And I'm hopeful that Chantry House boasts the same kind of level of ability as Long Run. He was dominant over two and a half miles to 3 miles last year. Yes, he might have lost to Aintree when Espoir de Rome fell, but he'd had a hard season. And that horse, Espoir de Rome, was clearly running his best race. Probably, I doubt he'll ever run to that level again. Chantry House still beat Chamblou by 32 lengths after Espoir de Rome fell. He impressed me with his jumping in a farcical match race on his return, beat the big breakaway. He's no bad horse, but obviously not up to the same level as Chantry House. And he doesn't have too much to find on figures. I also want to mention another horse in this race quickly, which is Tornado Flyer. Now, I don't think he'll win. Don't get me wrong. He's 25-1. He deserves to be 25-1. He kind of struggles against the really good staying chasers. But this horse has enough ability to win a big race, I think. Just not one of this standard. If he somehow goes down the handicap by about 10 pounds, he's going to dot up in a handicap once he exits Grade 1 company. And he's going to be a good price because of his failures to win in recent seasons. So keep an eye on Tornado Flyer. I was hoping he'd run in the Savills Chase and I was going to tip him each way, but he's running here instead. So he's one for the notebook.
Cheers for that, Tom. Now we're going to move across to the Irish action on St. Stephen's Day, and we're going to start with the 220 at Leopardstown. It's the Racing Post Novice Chase. Thurney Hollow starts this as 8-11 favourite. It's Riviere d'Etel at 13-8 and Coast Sublime 8-1. It's interesting to see Coast Sublime take on Thurney Hollow again so soon after their last contest. With Thurney Hollow such a short favourite, though, for the Arkle at this stage at 2-1, is this possibly the race where you want to get your value in? And do you see this possibly more as a chance for the opposition to weigh up their longer-term ambitions for this race, Tom?
Probably. I don't fancy Thurney Hollow for the Arkle, but I definitely think he'll win this race. I know I'm going to get some social media stick for this, but I'm with Third Time Lucky for the Arkle, despite what happened last time out. I think he goes much better fresh, and he's a decent player at a double figure price. But Thurney Hollow's obviously got a great chance with Appreciate It Now out of the Arkle. I think he'll win this race. I think he's one of the leading lights in the Willie Mullins yard. Willie Mullins has won this race 6 times in the last 10 years. He's always thought the world of Thurney Hollow. You can just tell that by the post-race and pre-race quotes that we get on the Racing Post. He obviously won the champion bumper in 2020, took the scalp of Bob Olinger on his hurdling debut, and I thought he largely jumped well over fences last month. I just think he's probably got too much class and speed for this group. And yes, 8-11 is a bit on the skinny side. When I looked last night, he was available as big as even money. If he was even money, I'd probably take it, Dan.
And G-Rod, can you see anything else taking this race away from Thurney Hollow?
I would be with the other one, Riviera de Till. I just think that Fernie Hollow's got to give a 13 pound, which is an awful lot of weight. We've seen, you know, fillies and mares dominate these races in recent years over fences, over hurdles. So I don't see why that should be any different over fences. Obviously, being a four-year-old, Riviera de Terres gets even more weight. And I think that the filly has got comparable form with Fernie Hollow on what they've achieved so far over fences. There's very, very little between them. I think if they were racing off level weights, it'd be a very, very good race. But getting 13 pound, I think that Riviera de Tell has to be the bet.
So now we're going to move on to the 2:40 at Limerick. That's the Boyle Sports Fohine Novice Chase. This is a grade one. Yeah, a lot of these are kind of on the periphery of the Turners and the Brown advisory betting come March. But there's a lot of intertwined form lines that could be compared here, gents. So who did we land on, G-Rod?
I mean, I absolutely like backing Gavin Cromwell's runners. You know, I mean, I think that he's a superb trainer. And he's obviously got two in it, hasn't he? Gabby Narco, who he thought the world of last season. You know, I had one of my best bets of the whole year on Gabby Narco at Cheltenham, and he got brought down at the first hurdle in the race won by Galopin de Champ. I was absolutely gutted. I thought he was a great bet off a mark of 141. He subsequently developed into, what, nearly a grade one chaser, hasn't he? So I think maybe I was a little bit unlucky there, although, of course, Galopin de Champ won the race. Vanillier is Gavin Cromwell's other runner, isn't he? So I just look at the way that Gavin Cromwell campaigned Vanillier last year, and he sort of brought him to the boil as the season went on. And Vanillier sort of showed promise first time out in his chase debut and then looked much better at Punchestown. I just wonder if he might be the one of the two Gavin Cromwell runners. But I think Cromwell will win it.
Of course, Vanillier, the winner of the Albert Bartlett at Cheltenham last year. Tom, who did you land on in this race?
Yeah, well, just a touch on Vanillier quickly. I did a pre-Cheltenham preview with Jonathan Moore, who was supposed to ride Vanillier before he suffered his injury just before Cheltenham. And he said this horse has always burned up the gallops. They really like him. And then he went and won the Albert Bartlett in brilliant fashion. I just think he's a three-miler. And the ground here is probably going to suit him because it's going to be heavy, already soft to heavy, and as it's pretty much like Weatherby with the forecast and just expected to be downpours from now until the race, so it'll probably be heavy, which will suit Vanillier. But I'm going to back a horse who beat Vanillier last year, Farouk Delen. He's also ridden by Jordan Gainford, I've just seen, which is a big tick in the box. He's around 3-1, probably short enough. But Gordon Elliott tends to run his smart 2-mile-4 chaser in this race. The likes of Sam Crowe, etc. have run in it. And Farouk Delen, although he doesn't have the same profile as the likes of Sam Crowe, he certainly boasts the same amount of potential. He's only had 6 starts. He's won 5 times. He went to Limerick for the Christmas meeting last year, beat Vanillier, as I mentioned, in the Grade 2 hurdle. He looked beaten for a long way on his chase debut at the start of this month as well, but stamina is clearly his forte. He ground out success that day. He wasn't even fully tuned up, and he still beat the likes of Blue Sari. I think he needs a thorough test. The ground will help him, and he should get it here. So Farouk Delen is my selection.
Right, cheers for that, guys. That's the wrap-up of Boxing Day. Join us back in a second where we're going to look at the Monday's action on ITV4 from Kempton and Chepstow and Leopardstown.
The Racing Post Christmas Countdown offers you the chance to win the ultimate Cheltenham Festival experience for you and 3 friends. Travel in style to Gold Cup Day with helicopter transfers from your 5-star hotel and experience fine dining in the Chez Roux restaurant with some of the finest views over the course. To enter, simply place a bet on the Racing Post app on Friday. And on top of that, there are huge weekly prizes available as well. Find out more at racingpost.com/Christmas Countdown.
And we kick off Monday's action with the 1:20 at Kempton. That's the Ladbrokes Wayward Lad Novices Chase. Edward Stone comes into this currently 15 ahead of the field based on RPRs and £16 on official ratings. So the question is, lads, can it be beat? And if so, who's the most likely candidate? G-Rod.
I mean, he looked very, very good at Sandown, Dan, no doubt about it. I remain to be convinced that he is the Arkle winner, although I know Tom Siegel fancies him, doesn't he? Because he put him up in the paper recently for the Arkle. So it's hard to see him being beaten here, isn't it? You can't really see a horse in there that's got the same amount of ability and what he showed at Sandown. I thought that Sebastopol was hugely unlucky last time out. He was going to absolutely hack up at Kempton when he fell at the last. And he has always been a horse with loads of talent, but he has a habit of finishing second, doesn't he? So maybe Edward Stone to beat Sebastopol is the play.
And Tom, what's your reckoning of this race?
Yeah, Edward Stone will win this, Dan. I'm pretty confident that he'll win. Official ratings tell the story regarding his dominance. It's a pretty poor turnout. I don't know if Sebastopol might run on Boxing Day. So I thought he was the biggest danger to Edward Stone as well. But if he runs on Boxing Day, this will just be a walkover for Edward Stone.
I like that. Edward Stone will win. So we'll move on to the 2:30 at Kempton, and that's the Ladbrokes Desert Orchid Chase. This is an eagerly anticipated return of Shishkin, or is it? Yesterday, Nicky Henderson said that, regards his participation, that he's fine, but I've got to be happy with him in the morning, or we'll wait for the Clarence House next month. Well, so far there's been no change in the market, so does Shishkin get the nod, G-Rod?
Well, I mean, if Shishkin runs and he's at his very best, then he will win, obviously, no doubt about it. There's obviously been rumours about the fact that he has not been right all season. So the first thing we want to see is the superstar Shishkin right back at his best, fit, well, healthy horse, and on track for the champion chase. And that's what I'm hoping we will get to see. However, he's not a bet at long odds on, considering all the, you know, sort of stuff that's been coming out about him, or, you know, how well is he right? I suppose you could say that Nicky won't run him if he's not right, that's for sure. He's already made that plain. If he doesn't run, then a green team will go off odds on and will be worth opposing, because, I mean, green team is a very, very good two-miler, but he's not outstanding. I was his biggest fan in the Tingle Creek. I thought he was the bet of the season in that race and had a good bet on him to win the Tingle Creek. But the Tingle Creek was his race, make no mistake. I mean, I don't think he's going to be winning another Grade 1 over 2 miles this season, Green Team. Before Midnight, I thought his horse was really, really improving. And I wouldn't be completely surprised if he ran very, very well. Worse Shishkin not to run. It's a very sort of tricky race. It's a great race to watch. Shishkin will win if he's better, his best. I hope he's there. I hope he's at his best. If he doesn't run and Green Team goes off long odds on, I think I might be tempted to back Before Midnight against him.
And Tom, if they were all to turn up, what kind of confidence would you have in Shishkin?
Yeah, I'd be pretty confident Shishkin will win. I think he's by far the best horse in this race if he turns up. As G-Rod mentioned, Grenadine's main aim was the Tingle Creek. Shishkin is a horse who just has an unbelievable engine. He should be 10 out of 10 in his career. We all know this. There's no point using superlatives about him. Shishkin's probably one of the most talked about jumps horses in training, but he's a much better horse than Grenadine, in my opinion. I prefer him to Energamine in the Champion Chase market as well. So hopefully he comes here, wins well, and then we get to see him at Cheltenham at his very best.
So now we're going to move on to Chepstow, the 250. This is the Coral Welsh Grand National. Secret Reprieve currently heads the betting at 9-2. Highland Hunter 6-1. Hold That Tort is 7-1. The Big Dog 7-1. And we are 12-1 bar. This is the puzzle of the year. And we've currently got 4 previous winners entered in the 30. This does need cutting down to 20 before the off. And those are Elegant Escape, Potter's Corner, the mighty Native River under a mammoth weight, and last year's winner, Secret Reprieve, who, as just mentioned, tops the betting. So, G-Rod, who do we like at this stage in the Welsh Grand National?
I would probably back the Big Dog. I mean, when you get these Irish trainers come out and be really, really bullish about horses for races in Britain, 9 times out of 10, they just win. I mean, what was that guy's name? Was it Michael Winters last year? I think
that's the one. Chatham Street Lad.
Yeah, that's it. Do you remember, TC? He came out before the race. He said, oh, this will definitely win. Yeah, and the horse was about 16 to 1. And it won by, what, 20 lengths or something on the bridle. And the reason I just think that you know, we all know that the Irish standard of racing is better than the British standard at the moment. And these trainers just have a better line on these horses than the British ones do. And a couple of weeks ago, I think it was in the Racing Post, Peter Fahey, the trainer of the Big Dog, was just hugely confident about this horse for this race. I just think that when you see that sort of confidence from an Irish trainer nowadays, it is just such a pointer given the Irish dominance. I just wouldn't be looking beyond him.
And Tom?
Yeah, well, I'm going to have two bets in this race, and G-Rod has stolen my main one, which is the Big Dog. He's been laid out for this prize. I think Connections gave that away by the fact they ran him over hurdles earlier this month, trying to keep his chase mark there. He treats Timber with scant regard as well, so he was never going to win that race. And in truth, he was never put into contention, so he didn't really have a chance from the off. It was definitely a prep run for this main mid-season target. The Step Up Trip will suit him. I think what's interesting about the Big Dog, other than what G-Rod's mentioned, is the fact that he landed a huge touch in the Grand National Trial at Punchestown in February. Like, he was one of the best backed horses of that month. He really came in for support in the market before the race, and he made a terrible mistake, but he still won. That showed that he has the stamina for these kind of trips. I really don't think he's badly treated off his British mark of 147 either. So I'd watch the market with the Big Dog, but I'll definitely be backing him. And the other horse that I'll be backing is I Will Do It. He needs one horse to come out to run. He's currently number 21 and obviously Maxfield at 20. But he's taken a while to understand the game, this I Will Do It. He really impressed me with his trial victory at Chepstow earlier this month. And that trial for this race often works out to be a useful guide over the last few years. The likes of Ramsey Zateye won it. Secret Reprieve as well, who again lines up. He was obviously flattered by the winning margin that day, because Colorado Doc, who finished second, was eased down after the last. But he certainly wasn't stopping at the line. I think he's going to improve for the Step Up and Trip. Sam Thomas had a phenomenal season already. So I Will Do It as an intriguing each-way play, but the Big Dog is the main selection.
That's two selections there for the Big Dog and one for I Will Do It. I'm going to throw a Native River in there just for the fairy tale story. Two to go. It's going to be bang there, and then we'll just see if he's still
you
got
can't,
it.
You can't help yourself, Dan. I knew you were going to do that.
It's got to happen, G-Rod. I don't care. It could be carrying 15 stone. I would still want that story to happen. So we're going to move on, though, now to the racing from Leopardstown. We'll start with the 110, and that's the Paddy's Reward Club Chase. No Ennegamine in this, but there's possibly a chance of redemption for Envoy LN, dropping back to 2 mile and one furlong. His first run over a distance this short in the last 2 years. So what do we think to that switch, Tom? And has he got a chance?
This race really annoys me, Dan, because I wanted to see Ennegamine again. You know, Ennegamine is one of the most talked about horses in training, much like Shishkin, and they dominate the Champion Chase division. But he's just been dominating races from the front. I want to see him have a proper test. I thought he might get it here, but obviously he's been taken out. And that now leaves just four runners, two of which have no chance in Sizing Potsy and Battle Over Doyen. And then two horses that have been just plainly disappointing this season. Envoy LM was thought to be the next big thing until he fell at Cheltenham. And since then, he's just been pretty disappointing. Chacun Pourceau, I'm convinced he's a flat track bully. He's at his best when he can just dominate inferior opposition. I don't think he deserves his official rating of 176 by any means. I think he's 170 max. Yes, he'll probably win this race, but do I want to take a short price? Absolutely not. If I was to bet, it would definitely be on Envoy LN, on the basis that he could bounce back. I don't think that's a guarantee either, though. So this is a race where you just got to watch, kind of learn something about Envoy LN. I don't think you'll learn anything from the other three in the race.
And you're not so confident on Envoy LN either, are you, G-Rod?
No, he's obviously looked very good in the past, but to me, he's a three-mile chaser and always has been. I don't see him as a two-mile chaser at all. But, I'm not going to say it because I hate it when people say that. You know, they say, far from me to question Henry de Bromhead. Well, why can't I question Henry de Bromhead? You know, I've watched this horse every single start, and to my eye, I don't think he's a two-mile chaser. And I think you got it wrong here, Henry. So let's see, shall we? But I think Chacun Pourceau is an absolute certainty. I just think he'll go around on the steel and they won't see which way he goes. I mean, he loves Leopardstown. He's absolutely unbeatable almost in Ireland. His two most disappointing runs have obviously come in England. For whatever reason, he just didn't get up the hill at Cheltenham. Maybe he just doesn't travel that well, doesn't show his best.
I think he's a quitter. I generally think he's a quitter. Yeah. Once he's asked for any kind of effort. Yeah, once he's asked for any kind of effort, he just seems to down tools. And as you mentioned.
You think Voilen can get him off the bridle here, TC? That's the question.
Yeah, see, this is probably why I won't be punting the race, because I don't know what to expect from Voilen. But he definitely has the talent, I think, to trouble Jacquin Pourceaugt. Whether Jacquin Pourceaugt will just dominate from the front, who knows? Probably. But I think he's a quitter. And if he comes under pressure, if Envoy LN comes alongside, I think he'll outstay him.
You could be right, but I just don't think that Envoy LN will get alongside him.
Definitely going to be more of an interesting one to watch than bet on, that's for sure. And the last race that we're going to look at today is the 145 at Leopardstown, and that is the Paddy Power Future Champions Novice Hurdle. A small but potentially future studded field here. Star studded field. But whose star will shine brightest after this race, G-Rod?
It's a tough one, isn't it? Largely debuted fresh Kilcruit last time. Whether Kilcruit was at his best or not, we can't be certain. There's been a lot of talk about Mighty Potter, who looks like he might well go off favourite. Grongy was a decent bump horse last season, wasn't he? She ran at Cheltenham, finished sixth, then won at Punchdown. I just think maybe Free Stripe Life is the value in the race. I remember I backed my mate Mozzie quite heavily to win the Royal Bond. I still can't believe he didn't jump the last. If he had, he would have won that race. He'd just beaten right on the line, which was an absolute gutter. But Free Stripe Life was pulled out of that race just before. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's great. Because I thought Free Stripe Life was the main danger to my mate Mozzie in that race. He was fourth ahead of Grangy at Cheltenham, behind Sir Gerhard in the Grade 1 champion bumper, and was impressive when winning a maiden hurdle first time out of Ferias. I'm quite surprised that Free Stripe Life is a much bigger price than some of those others at the top of the market. Maybe it's because Gordon Elliott has got two in the race and Jack Kennedy is riding Mighty Potter, but Davy Russell is on Free Stripe Life, so I don't really see that as any negative.
And Tom?
Yeah, Three Stripe Life, I think, is the bet at the prices. I can just emulate exactly what G-Rod said. I thought he was impressive as well on his seasonal reappearance at Fairy House, albeit in an egg and spoon race. He was sent off 2-13 that day. He finished fourth. We shouldn't forget, he finished fourth in the champion bumper behind Sergei Harden, Kilcrut and L.A. Bell as well. So he has good form. I think probably the most likely winner, however, is Largely Debut. And he's the horse I actually want to win this race, despite putting up Three Stripe Life. Yes, he beat Kilcrut, and we don't think Kilcrut was at his best, but he smashed him by 10 lengths and Kilcrut was mild clear of the third. This could be a real smart hurdler in the making for Henry de Bromhead. We've only seen him once before that hurdling success, and that was in a bumper at Navan, and he clearly just wasn't at his best that day on really testing conditions at Navan. I think if Largely Debut wins this race, then he could be a future star, but otherwise I don't think there are any necessary stars in this race, and Three Stripe Life is the value, but Largely Debut the most likely winner.
Okay, so before we move on to the naps, we'll go for each one of you for any other horses or races that you're interested in looking at over the festive period. And we'll start with you, Tom.
Just one at the moment, Dan. Haven't really studied after Boxing Day, aside from the main races we've covered. It's on Boxing Day, 1:20 at Kempton, a horse called Danny Kerwin. I really like him in this race. I think this is great placing by Paul Nichols, who just does so well at Kempton throughout the year. But, you know, most importantly, on Boxing Day. Danny Kerwin, the one negative, he's not the hardiest battler. If he comes into a battle after the last, he's probably going to succumb to the rival. But he has a really high cruising speed. He's a brilliant jumper. And I thought he performed extremely well to take second behind Annual Invictus, who won again next time at Cheltenham in October on his seasonal reappearance. The third from that race, Torn and Frayed, has finished runner-up twice since. The fourth has won. The fifth has won. The form is pretty good. Five of Danny Kerwin's best six efforts have come on flat right-handed tracks, so the switch to Kempton should help. He jumped out to his right at Cheltenham throughout, so you know you can mark up that performance further. And Danny Kerwin is not only returning for his second run this year, where he's likely to be primed, but he's also having his second start after a wind operation. So they're two eye-catching angles for a horse that already made plenty of appeal. Danny Kerwin, 1:20 at Kempton on Boxing Day.
Thanks for that, Tom. And G-Rod, anything that we've not looked at so far today that's caught your eye?
Just the opener at Kempton. I expect that to be won by Nicky Anderson's horse Broomfield Berg. I mean, this is a race that Nicky Anderson almost wins every year. I mean, he's won it five times in the last 10, including with Altior, Mr. Fisher, Fred 2 years ago. He always runs one of his best novice hurdlers in it. And this season, make no mistake, Nicky Anderson has got some proper novice hurdlers in his camp, hasn't he? So the fact that he's running Broomfield Berg here is probably a tip in itself. That's the 12:45 at Kempton.
And now we're going to move on to festive naps.
This will not be beaten.
So we'll start with you, G-Rod. Who is going to be the one for you this Christmas?
I'm going to stick with Asterion Falange in the King George 305 Kempton.
And Tom?
I'm going to go to Chepstow for the Coral Finale Juvenile Hurdle on the 27th. It's the 140 at Chepstow. And a horse called Forever Blessed. Now, I was toying up putting Danny Kerwin in this spot as the main bet, but he'll be the next best of the week. The nap is going to be Forever Blessed. Now, I have rarely seen a three-year-old jump so well as this three-year-old, Harry Fry's runner. Speed tends to win this race, though the class of an exceptional stare can pull them through. I mean, Bristol Demai won this race in 2014, over 2 miles. However, Forever Blessed has a mixture of speed and stamina. His technique over hurdles is flawless. I genuinely urge all punters out there to go and watch both of his two runs, because he pinged the last two hurdles. The two hurdles that mean the most in each race, he pinged them. It was perfect. He was like a genuine pro who'd been doing this for years. Harry Fry hasn't really asked much of him so far. Obviously, only two starts in two winnable races. This is going to be a much stiffer task. But I think this horse could be pretty special, a real talent. And yes, there are a couple of other horses in here with futures. But Portocello, who's currently the joint favourite with him, is a 3 mile, 2.5 mile to 3 mile chaser in the making. Sky Cutter just run through the choke out early on. I really do think Forever Blessed is a great price, around 3-1 in the 140 at Chepstow on the 27th of December.
New subscribers can get 50% off Ultimate Monthly for 3 months using the code HOLIDAYS. That's 3 months of our Ultimate Monthly members package for just £17.48 per month. For full terms and to claim, visit racingpost.com/postcast.
Well, thanks very much for that, gents. I've really enjoyed being able to look at the action coming up over the next few days. Anything Santa's bringing you that you're excited about, Tom?
I'm just looking forward to a couple of days with the family. Off to see the girlfriend's mum and dad this evening for a few games and a couple of drinks. And then to my family for Christmas Day. Boxing Day is all about sport and the leftover food. It's just a great time of year, Dan. Really looking forward to it.
And G-Rod, it's just all about the King George, is it?
Yeah, can't wait for the racing, can't wait for Christmas Day, can't wait for Santa to come on. One more sleep, is it? Two more sleeps. I should ask Alexa. Have you ever done that? If you ask Alexa how many sleeps to come, she actually tells you. So, yeah, I'll have to ask. But no, the kids will know, that's for sure. It's just great, isn't it? Can't wait.
Well, thanks everybody for listening, and hope you all have a brilliant Christmas. We'll be back next week when the original Friday slot. So until then, have a great Christmas, and as ever, please gamble responsibly.